Amen, brother. Brother Kirkland, thank you. What a blessing. Appreciate that. Be praying for Leona Alfrey. Leona has knee surgery on Tuesday. Remember that request, if you would, and ask the Lord to help her through that, and that'll be good. Praise the Lord. And let's see, we're in 2 Chronicles 26, and verse 1, 2 Chronicles 26, and verse 1. So delighted to know that here in Adrian, we have a Baptist church now where we can go hear songs from Queen and Kansas and Elvis and all kinds of groups that I thought when I got saved I was supposed to get rid of all those things and I was supposed to, my life was supposed to be different, and God put a new song, but I'm finding out there's Baptist churches that are featuring those kinds of things, and I just can't believe it. I just cannot believe it. And, you know, my wife said, well, she said, honey, she said, did that, they get a new pastor there? I said, nope, same one, just not the same belief. I'm serious. It's scary, folks. Our day is, it's an exciting day we live in, but it's a scary day. It really is. When you have to compromise so much just to get a crowd, and you think that's what you need to do. Just tell the truth. Just get up and rear back and preach the Bible. It's the truth. This is what will help people. Becoming worldly is not going to help people. It's not going to change their lives. Oh, you might get a crowd in, but you get a crowd in to do what? Lives need to be changed. Amen? We need God to work. And our men's prayer time, we had 14 men tonight. And one fellow, I believe, Paul was praying and just said, God, we need you. We just need you. You know, and if nothing else, that's exactly what you should pray. God, I need you. And I'm going to talk about that tonight, because here's a king, King Uzziah. The Bible says in verse 1, then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after that the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Father, I pray you bless the preaching tonight. We sure need you. And Lord, we need you to do a work in our lives. Lord, we don't want to manufacture something with carnality and sinfulness. We want you, God, to work in our hearts and in our lives and make us what we need to be. And that requires change many times. It requires us to get an old-fashioned altar and confess and get right and beg you for help. But Lord, that's what we need tonight. And I pray for that and pray that you will give me your power. Lord, hide me behind your cross. And work in our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, who's a young man that's 16? Do we have any 16-year-old fellas? Anyone who's 16? I couldn't think about that. How old are you, Joshua? You're 17? That's scarier yet. Wow, that's even scarier yet. No guys that are 16? Who are you pointing at? Daniel, you're 16? Can you imagine Daniel being the king? I'm more scared imagining Josh being the king. But Uzziah was the king. You talk about responsibility. And I understand there were other kings. Josiah, I believe, was 8 and when he became the king. But obviously there were people that were overseeing a lot of his decision. But you know, at the age of 16, Uzziah became a king. And obviously the Bible says that he did right. And certainly he started out doing right. Now we often go to Uzziah, we study him, when we want to talk about pride, because Uzziah became a very proud person. But I want you to key on these words in verse 5. It says, as long as he sought the Lord, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And the title of the message tonight is, it could be he sought the Lord or he sought God, but I, in my mind, I'm thinking as long as he sought the Lord. As long, do you understand how much happens in our lives as long as we seek the Lord. How much good happens? Do you realize all the things that are positive in our lives? Because God says here about Uzziah, as long as he sought the Lord, he prospered. You know, I guess we could write the second part of that, and we don't have to because God already did. He tells us what happens. But when he quit seeking the Lord, this is what happened. Now, as long as he sought the Lord, he prospered. But when he quit, he no longer prospered anymore. He quit getting God's supernatural help. I don't know about you, but I need God's help tonight. You know, as Paul was praying tonight, I thought, you know, he's tapped right into the message tonight. God, we need you. Who do we think we are if we don't need him? But I'm afraid that like Uzziah, we do reach a point sometimes in our life, we don't think we need him anymore. We don't believe that we really need him anymore. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But I'm amazed at Uzziah. And I like what it says in verse 4. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. I can't help but think it's because he was seeking the Lord. I'll be honest with you. As long as you're seeking God, you're probably doing right. People will come in, they'll say, Pastor, you know, I'm so concerned. I really want to please God. I really want to do right. But you know, I don't feel like I'm doing what I could do. And I think God might be, you know, he might be angry at me or something like that. I say, oh, let me tell you something. As long as you're seeking the Lord and you're seeking to do right, you're probably doing right. Well, that doesn't mean you're perfect, but it does mean that when you do wrong, you're so conscious of it, you get it right. That's the way Paul was in Romans 7. You know, he's so burdened about, I want to do right, but I do wrong. Well, good night. If we looked at Paul's life, we would say, I mean, he's really doing right. He's really doing right. But he was so conscious of wrong and so conscious of doing wrong and so concerned that he would do wrong. Why? Because he was seeking the Lord. You seek the Lord, you're seeking righteousness. You seek the Lord, you're seeking holiness. You seek the Lord, you're seeking his will. You know what he says in Jeremiah 29:13? And you ought to write this verse down. I make reference to it often. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. With all your heart. He says, you'll find me. There is no question about it. And that's exactly what happened to Uzziah. I mean, here's a man who sought the Lord, and he, the Bible says, as long as he sought the Lord. By the way, as long as indicates he didn't just do it one time. Hello? You know, well, you know, I remember when I got saved, and that's pretty much it. Okay? How about the next day? And how about the next day? And how about the next day? And how about the next day? Keep seeking him. As long as he sought the Lord. As long as you seek the Lord. As long as, and all over this room, there are stories of as long as they sought the Lord. But how sad if it ends there. How sad if they're no longer seeking the Lord. How sad if there's one here who used to really seek the Lord and sought his will in their life and sought for his blessing and sought for God to work in his life and change him and make him what he ought to be. You were there once. How sad if that ended. How sad that you no longer want that. How sad that we would no longer think that we needed God's help anymore. How sad that we would quit seeking the Lord. We're Christians. We're saved. Why in the world would we quit seeking the Lord? The Bible says he did some great things. He did which was right. The Bible says that God made him to prosper. The Bible says it goes on and he warred against the Philistines in verse 6. He broke down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod. He built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped him, verse 7, God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians. Now look, here's a man who's a king, and he started out as a young king, and he saw great victories. He saw God helping him, in verse 7 it says, and all this time God's helping him. The Bible says in verse 8, the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah. His name spread abroad, even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate. He built towers, verse 10, in the desert. He digged many wells. By the way, these are huge accomplishments for a king. All these things are happening, and God is blessing him. And isn't it true? As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. I mean, people are talking about it. Hey, did you hear about Uzziah? And on CNN, they're talking about Uzziah. Well, what a king. I mean, this guy's doing great things. Bible says in verse 11, he had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands according to the number of their account. I mean, the whole number of the chief of the fathers, verse 12, 2,600. Under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500. This guy, look, this king is doing great things. Bible says that in verse 14, it talks about all their weapons, shields, spears, helmets. It says in verse 15, he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers, upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows. I mean, this guy's doing a great thing. And God is helping him. But it's because he sought the Lord. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. I submit to you tonight, dear friend, that as long as you seek the Lord, God's going to make you to prosper. As long as you seek him, as long as you make an effort to say, God, I need you. I want your help. I've got to have your help. As long as you'll do that, God's going to help you. God's going to meet that need. God's going to bless. God is going to do some great things with you as he did with Uzziah here. I hear men give testimonies. We had two tonight. Wonderful testimonies of God answering prayer and God providing. And we had more than that, but especially in the financial realm. And I think, you know, here's somebody that I'm sure they were really seeking the Lord. Yeah, they had to get in trouble to do it. Isn't that sad? It's a shame that we have to get in trouble to do it, isn't it? Isn't it too bad that that's seems to be the only time we seek the Lord? Now, I don't believe that's true about these folks, but often that is the case. And by the way, if you really believe that tonight, that you have to be in trouble before you'll seek the Lord, aren't you just begging for trouble? Amen. Amen. Yes. As long as he sought the Lord. As long as he sought the Lord. You know, and Uzziah's sin, and we all know this because we've dealt with this passage before. Ultimately, he becomes proud. And pride, do you realize how foolish it is when you really think about it? Because here, look at all the things that are happening here. Look at all the great things. But eventually, Uzziah, I think he forgot who did it. What do you think? I think maybe because CNN was doing some reports on him and USA Today did a feature article on him and everything, and they all talked about how great he was. They all started talking about, hey, here's a guy, when he was 16 years old, he became the king, and boy, look at the job he's done. What a smart guy he is. And I think Brother Hawkins, he kind of started to believe it. And everybody said, what a great guy you are. You're a great king. You're sure smart. And you know, at first he would say, well, praise the Lord. It's all God. At first he'd say, God did that. God, hey, listen, if you only knew how much time I spend on my knees before my God. If you only knew how much I'm seeking God's help and I've got to have God's help and I cry out to God. But after a while, you know, he maybe quit telling people that because he himself quit doing that. Because the Bible says, as long as he sought the Lord, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Number one, he needed God's help. He needed God's help. It's kind of like, you know, a young person goes off to college. And really, there's so many examples, whether it's college or whether it's being the freshman in high school, whether it's being the seventh grader, you know, going into the junior high, whatever. You know, when you're on the bottom of the totem pole, it's amazing how terrified you are. It's amazing. Mainly, you know, you think about a freshman, and several were freshmen. You started out you are still a freshman in high school or in college. And remember how scared you were? You know? I mean, absolutely terrified. I'm thinking about some that came in, they saw me, Pastor, I'm terrified. You know, what am I going to do? And I said, you know, you just need to go to the Lord and get close to God. And one of the great things about being a freshman is just a great opportunity to get alone with God. Amen. I mean, it's a great opportunity. And you know, they're a freshman, you know, and they go through that year and, oh God, please, you gotta help me. And they take something like speech. And I mean, when you take speech class, you need God. You really do. I watch freshmen fall apart in speech class. It's interesting because when I took speech class, I was a little older than most of the freshmen in the class, and I was also married, and so had a little some of that behind me. I had spoken a couple of times to our youth group and that in our church, and so in college when speech class came along, I wasn't as nervous as a lot of people were. And I was kind of nervous, and I wasn't sure how to handle not being able to stand behind something, because I didn't know what to do with these. These are always a problem when you take speech class. Hands. And I didn't know what to do with my hands. It was always a problem. And I told the teacher, I said, hey, isn't there some way we could stand behind a lectern or something like that? The teacher said, no, you need to give your speech out in the open. I said, out in the open, huh? Other people, now I didn't like that, but other people were absolutely terrified. I mean, they did not know what they were going to do with their hands. This is the truth. I watched a girl, she was terrified, and she gave her speech, and she had a real good speech. It was memorized, and it was good, but she was so nervous, she started wadding up her skirt. The teacher had to stop her because she wadded it above her knees. I mean, it was wadding all the way up, and teacher had to stop her. She was absolutely terrified. I remember my first speech in front of everybody. I didn't know what to do with my hands, and so I kept moving my hands like this. They nicknamed me the penguin because I kept doing that. I didn't know what to do with my hands. I wasn't really nervous, but I just didn't know what to do with my hand. And yet, boy, you don't know how many times we as freshmen would get before God and say, "God, please, you got to help me. I don't know what I'm doing." My first funeral, I was terrified. First wedding, terrified. Much, much more terrified weddings. You can't mess up weddings. You can't get around at weddings. You have to be serious. Everything's perfect. Everybody's filming it. You know, and just terrified. But you know, it's amazing how you go through that freshman year and you're terrified and you're begging God to help and He helps and you're begging God to help you with Greek and other subjects that are hard, and you're just begging God, and then you got to pay the bills. And isn't it amazing? You go through all that and you have to pay for it. It's amazing. But, and you're begging God and everything, but then your freshman year's over and you're, boy, that's great. Huh? And maybe you make the dean's list and they take your picture. Huh? And maybe Aunt Frida comes up to you and she grabs you by the cheek and says, "Oh, you're just so wonderful." And you say, yeah. And boy, you know, all of a sudden, you're not quite as scared. All of a sudden, it's like, yeah, I think I got this thing figured out. You know what's amazing? By the time many young people are seniors in college, Bible college, they're worthless. They don't need God anymore. They don't need Him. For some, it's by the middle of their freshman year. Yeah, I don't need God anymore. Either that or they just don't believe God. Uzziah needed God's help. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You'll accomplish something without him, but you'll never accomplish what it could have been with him. You might even graduate from Bible college. You might even make that promotion at work. You might accomplish something, but it'll never be what it could have been. Brother Key, honestly, and I don't mean to point you out and embarrass you or anything like that, although if I have an opportunity to embarrass you, I will. But to be honest with you, had you not got on your knees and begged God to work all that, you might have worked it out. You might have. I don't think you'd have got on the phone and called me up about it, though, and shouted. And I don't think Paula would have been as excited as she was. See, we do that. We do sometimes work some things out. And you will accomplish something on your own, but it'll never be what it could have been. And I think God probably is leading that up to something even bigger that you couldn't accomplish. Now, I'm just saying this. You know, there's folks here, you've got situations and you've I'll figure it out. Why not give it to God? You have a financial situation and I'll figure it out. No, why not give it to God? Why not go to Him first? Why is it we go to everybody else first and then finally at the last second we go to God? Hey, he needed God's help and so he went to God. He sought the Lord. You have a major decision to make. Okay, before you come and see the pastor, before you go to mom and dad, before you go to other counselors, why not get before God Almighty and say, God, I need your help. I need you to make this decision. I need your guidance, God. See, we need him. Parents, you have children at home or teenagers, you need God. You don't have it figured out. Well, I got a couple of books I've read. Throw them in the trash. Go to God. You know, go to God. Well, you know what? We just had a child. We better get some books. No, what you better do is get on your knees while that little child is in the womb and you need to beg God and say, oh God, we need you. I remember holding David, our firstborn, and I remember thinking, what am I supposed to do? That wasn't because he was wet. Amen. What am I going to do? I'm responsible for him now. I got to take care of him. I got to provide. Amen. But it was long before that day, I remember so clearly saying, God, I've got to have your help. I need you. I need you. You're a teenager tonight. Well, I got it all figured. No, you have nothing figured out. You need God's help. You need his help. Desperately need his help. I don't know how our teenagers, by the way, some of you are too hard on our teenagers. You need to lighten up a little bit. I don't know how they make it. I don't know how they do it. Certainly not on their own. They need God's help. We need to lead them and help them to go to God and seek his help. You're a young couple, just got married, you know, or you've just been married for a little while. You need God's help. You need God. You need God's guidance and direction. You need God's supernatural help. You're one of our bus kids. You need God. You're a Sunday school teacher. You need God. A bus captain. You need God. You need him. You need him desperately. He needed God's help. Number two, God helped him. That is so good. He needed God's help, and God helped him. Turn the page, go to verse 15. Look what it says about God helping him. The end of verse 15, all these things. His name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped. He was marvelously helped. That's beyond the credit union helping out. That's beyond getting a new charge card. That's beyond human help. Hey, he was marvelously helped by God. God marvelously helped him. Now again, you might accomplish something getting secular help. You might accomplish something going to other counselors. But I'll be honest with you, we need marvelous help. We need to be marvelously helped. You could say miraculously helped. These things that Uzziah did and all that the Bible records about him and all that history records about Uzziah. Hey, listen to me. He was marvelously helped. Marvelously. They say of Solomon, they say, well, he's the wisest man that ever lived. And where did that come from? Not Solomon's mind. Not his high IQ. Not his education. Not from the library. Not from the internet. No. Listen. Where did it come from, Solomon? Oh, God marvelously gave me wisdom. Marvelously helped. I don't know about you. I want to be marvelously helped. I don't want it to be explainable. I don't want it to be something that happens to everybody. I like marvelous help. Because that means God did it. Not just, hey, God will take care of those everyday needs. Don't misunderstand me. I was preaching to the shepherds and I was talking about the shoes of iron and brass for the tribe of Asher. And the reason they had those shoes of iron and brass were because they lived in rocky places. And I was talking about how God had provided and God knew that they would need shoes of iron and brass because they would have rocky places. But I told the shepherds, I said, hey, you know what? God even cares about our feet. God even cares about a common thing as a foot. A stinky foot. foot. And he'll take care of those common things. And he'll take care of those common needs. But do you need marvelous help tonight? Because if you need marvelous help, as long as he sought the Lord, God provided those marvelous things. God is the one who can do those miraculous things. I'm talking about when it has to be a miracle. I'm talking about these things. And certainly, Uzziah didn't always know that he needed a miracle, but these things that he did and his accomplishments are certainly miraculous. God himself records it as he was marvelously helped. Marvelously. You need a miracle tonight? You need a miracle in your life? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Because you need help. God helped. You know what? God loves to help us. That's the amazing thing to me. God, he really wants to help us. He enjoys helping us. Bible says he's our help and our shield, Psalm 33:20. Bible says in Psalm 46:1, he's a very present help. That's now. That's today. He wants to help me now. He wants to help you now. All through the Bible, God helps man. All through the Bible. Hey, you know, United States of America, we celebrate Thanksgiving because God helped. That's what it's all about. Study it. I'm talking about the true history of it. It has nothing to do with turkeys. Amen. Yeah. It's all about God helping people. It's God helping man. I brought one of my little cards here from Brother Collins. September 20th. He gave me Psalm 34:4. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Who did? The Lord. Hey, you know, there's folks in the room here. Seriously, you need marvelous help. And God wants to help you. He really does. Well, what do you suppose this was about as long as Uzziah was doing right? And the Bible says that he did do right as a whole. But as long as he's seeking the Lord and all these things are happening, and Uzziah, when CNN comes and they interview, I don't know why I keep using CNN. But anyway, I've never watched it. But they come and they interview him, and he says, well, praise God. God did it. I'm stupid. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know anything about these weapons. I don't know anything about soldiers. I mean, come on. When I became the king, I just finished playing with my soldiers. I didn't know anything about that, but God did it. And you suppose God was standing there? Wow. I like this. Don't you think God would like to get hold of your life and marvelously help you if you'll praise him? I say it just about every time we anoint someone with oil. I say, God, I believe with all my heart this person, if you'll heal them, if you'll take care of this problem, they'll tell everybody. Amen. Sad thing is, some haven't. you probably thought the doctor did it. Who led the doctor? I'm not against the doctor doing it, but I don't mind the doctor doing it as long as I understand and that you understand God gave the doctor the ability to do it. That same doctor that did it, it's very possible he could have cut off the wrong thing. It's very possible he could have passed out in the middle and fell into your opening. Oh, isn't that gross? Well, why don't we believe that God is doing things? Marvelous help. That's the kind of help I need. I've watched God do it, honestly. And it's so good to see when God does it. It's just amazing. And I love the word marvelous. Uzziah whipped the Philistines and others. He built towers. He digged wells in the desert. I mean, come on. He built an army and all these things. And he wants to help you. And as long as he sought the Lord, as long as you seek the Lord. I remember starting the church in Bern, Indiana, absolutely terrified. We had a fella paint a sign. And we put on the sign, Rev. Doug Rogers. There wasn't room for Reverend. I don't like to be called that anymore, but back then, you know, I just the guy painted the sign, put the church times, Faith Baptist Church, and we had a little stand, and we set that little sign out there in front of the library, and set that on the sidewalk there for folks to see on Sunday morning so they could come into church, and I was absolutely terrified. First time I saw the sign sitting out there, I shook. I trembled. You know why? Because it said Rev. Doug Rogers. Who's preaching this morning? Oh, you. Yeah. Absolutely terrified. I'm still terrified to get up and preach. Absolutely. Why? Because it's an awesome responsibility. And I'll be honest with you. You know, you need marvelous help more than you just need somebody that gets up and speaks. I mean, honestly, in our lives, the times that God changed my life is when God was doing a marvelous work in my heart. Not just because somebody got up and told some good stories. It's not the guy behind the pulpit. It's the God doing a marvelous work in people's lives. Hey, what's going to change Lenawee County? It's not going to be because we get up and yell and scream and holler. It's going to be because God does something in our hearts and we go out and we let God do something in other people's hearts. It's the marvelous help. It's the marvelous help of God Almighty that you and I can't do. Hey, you can't save anybody. It's funny. You'll lead someone to the Lord and they'll give a testimony. Maybe they'll be telling somebody and I've had this happen many times. Okay, now let's go in the other room and you tell your wife or tell your husband, tell them what God did for you and tell them what you just did. And they'll walk in and they'll say this. They'll say, Reverend Rogers just saved me. I'm always real quick to say, no. I can't save anybody. God saved you. They'll tell somebody else later on in the day. They'll say, hey, the pastor saved me. No. Now understand. Pastor can't save you. God saves you. Hey, you ever save anybody from hell? You ever keep anybody? Huh? Oh, we can't do it, but God can. God can. You ever convince a backslider to get right with God on your own? You can't do it. I've given all the arguments. I've told you before about the message. I had a couple came to our church, the Sipe family. Came to our church in Bern, Indiana, and they were both lost. I couldn't figure out why they came, and our church wasn't very old. We were meeting in the basement library, and these people weren't very old. Yeah, they were very old, but they hadn't come very long, they always came on Sunday morning. So I would get my hottest salvation message. I was going to get them saved. I preached about the blood, they didn't get saved. I preached about the second coming, they didn't get saved. I preached about hell, they didn't get saved. They just didn't get saved. I don't know why they wouldn't get saved. And I had it all figured out. I had poems, I had cute little sayings, I had great illustrations. And they didn't get saved. Frustrating. I never preached on salvation on Sunday night. I always preached something for Christians. I had it all figured out. And sure enough, one Sunday night, I'll never forget it. They walked in, and I thought, oh no, I don't have a salvation message. I was frustrated. I tried to find the sword of the Lord. No, just kidding. I didn't know what I was going to do. They got to hear the gospel again. And I looked, and I'll never forget, you know how you'll hear about a preacher opening up his Bible and looking to see what he's preaching on and thinking, oh brother. I think the title of the message, and I don't know where this came from, but just now it just hit me. I think the title of the message was When You Trip on Your Lip. Great title, huh? Has nothing to do. Nothing about the blood, nothing about salvation, nothing about the second coming, nothing about hell to get a hold of. I thought, well, I'll work it in. And preachers can do that. You know, it was so funny, that message. I didn't work it in. It just didn't work in. I did not give the plan of salvation at all in that message. It was about discouragement. Brother Hawkins, I'll never forget when I said, if you're not sure you're saved, raise your hand, you know, and went through all that kind of stuff. I said, and if you'd like to get saved, would you raise your hand? And both of them raised their hand. I'll never forget that. I thought, I almost went on. It, honestly, it was the most awkward invitation seriously, other than the time, well, the one time when, anyway, we won't get into that. But no, you don't want to hear this. But I'm looking, and it's like I paused. You know how you go through invitation? Now you pray don't because you're not pastors. But anyway, I know how I do. And it was like, whoa. I gave the invitation. They both came forward and got saved. And I'm later on I'm thinking, what just happened? It's like God said, you needed something marvelous to happen.
Yeah, but my message on the blood was marvelous. My message on the second coming, that was marvelous. I had a poem in there. All that.
God said, no, I'm marvelous. Hey, I'm going to tell you, you talk about a young preacher learning a good lesson right there. God said, I'm marvelous. Your flesh. I'm marvelous. Why don't we get a hold of that and let it get a hold of us? He is marvelous. His work is marvelous. That's what we need in our lives. That's what you need for your health issues. I'm not saying forget the doctor. I'm just saying go to God, the great physician. You need marvelous help, and God wants to do it. And then the third thing and the last thing, God helped him as long as he sought the Lord. And as long as he sought the Lord, didn't matter what the problem was. Your Majesty. I don't know where Your Honor came from. Your Majesty, we needest thou a welleth out in the deserteth. And, okay, we need a well in the desert. Dig the well. Who controls the water underground anyway? Hello? And all of a sudden, there's a well. There's another well. And all of a sudden, all these things are happening, and it's like, wow! This is so good. God helped him as long as he sought him. And I can, that's what I say, woo! You know, as long as he seeks him. Here is God, who's saying, okay, what do you need now, Uzziah? You have not because you ask not. Right? What do you need, Uzziah? I'm ready to work. What do you need? Boy, so good. And God helped him as long as he sought him. Mm-hmm. Now the key to all of that, seriously, as I read this, is he needed him. And when he didn't need him anymore, he quit seeking him. When is the last time you prayed at 3:00 in the morning? Do you not need him? Well, I mean, there's a few things going on. No. I mean, are you tired of miracles? Are you tired of miraculous things and marvelous things happening in your life? When's the last time you wept when you prayed? I'm not saying you have to weep. I'm just saying that you have wept. Right? Well, yeah, but preacher, that was a desperate. Oh, there are no desperate things anymore. Our economy's the way it is, and there's nothing desperate to pray about. Hello? People's jobs are the way they are, and there's nothing for us desperately to pray about. There's situations all around us that are desperate situations. And we have nothing to get on our face. When's the last time you got on your face before God? I'm not talking about, you know, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. That's okay. I'm not against that. I'm just saying, you know, when's the last time you went beyond that and you went beyond good food, good meat, good Lord, let's eat? You went beyond that when you got on your face and you said, God, I have to have you do this now. I need you, God. I really desperately need you. I'm talking about you can't figure it out. I'm talking about you can't produce it. You say, well, you know, preacher, oh my God, there's just not a whole lot of, well, find somebody. There's all kinds of, how many of you in this room right now, raise your hand if you have a lost loved one. Raise your hand. You know that. I'm guessing 100 hands just went up. You say, well, that's not me. Wait a minute. That's a lost person. All you have to do, God, there's people in this church that have lost loved ones that are going to go to hell if they don't get saved. God, we need you. We need you, God. Because the only way people get saved is marvelous help. There is no salvation outside of God's miraculous born-again help. There isn't salvation any other way. It doesn't happen any other way. You must be born again. That's marvelous. That's miraculous. That's not memorizing a certain amount of scripture. That's not joining a certain group. That's not anything except God Almighty saving a soul. Hey, could we save ourselves? No. But then we forget about that, don't we? And that's how we start to forget that we really need God. Could you keep yourself? No. No, we're kept by Him. Could we even sustain ourselves? Well, you know, I work hard at my job. Yeah, and people are losing their jobs. Remember when you begged Him for a job? You wept for a job? You begged Him for money? Why'd you quit doing that? Well, I got enough. You have enough? Really? Is there anyone in this room? You don't have to raise your hand. You can ponder this thought. Anyone in here have enough money? Do you? Because if you do, we sure could use it in our budget. Oh, there's something. We have to cut $100,000 off our budget. I guess that would take marvelous help, wouldn't it? But have you even spent 5 minutes praying about that? See, it's marvelous help. And as long as he sought the Lord, God did help. But you know what it says in verse 15? He was marvelously helped till he was strong. What's that mean? That means he believed he did it. And he no longer needed God. It's so true what Paul said. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. That's what Paul said. But we don't get it. And we would amen it. We'd believe, oh yeah, preacher, that's right, amen. But somehow along the way, we kind of think we've got it figured out. And yet there's so many areas I can think of where we need God's help. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And the one thing that shoots down that cry for God's help is our pride. When we become so religious, we become so blessed, we don't need Him anymore. And I'm convinced that many, many Christians today are living on that pride rather than on the marvelous help that God offers them. God uses our weakness to show His strength. And so for Uzziah, as long as Uzziah was telling her, you know, God did this, because he knew God did it. And as long as Uzziah was praising the Lord and seeking God's help and praising the Lord and seeking God's help and praising the Lord and seeking God's help and praising the Lord and seeking God's help, God said, I'm gonna work in that boy's life. I'm gonna literally do some marvelous things for him. We'll look at D.L. Moody, we'll look at great preachers of the past, and we'll say, oh, you know, to have a ministry like that. Well, what do you mean? As long as you seek the Lord, you can have the same marvelous help as anybody. Amen. 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 But we become proud, as Uzziah did. We used to say, I can't do it. I've got to have your help, God. But then somehow we end up saying, I can do it. I can do it on my own. How foolish when we could have God's help. I'm amazed at folks who won't accept when people try to help them. A good example. Somebody has a financial need, and somebody in the church says, "Hey, listen, God laid on my heart to help you with this." And you, "Oh no, I can't take that." You know what you're saying? God, I don't need your help, right? Isn't that what you're saying?
"Well, I'll not take handouts."
You're out of your mind. That handout, as you call it, that might be God's marvelous help.
Amen.
Why wouldn't you take that? Somebody said, "Well, I'd like to take you out to eat."
"Oh, no, I don't ever do that. I just don't ever."
What's wrong with you? Huh? What if God laid on their heart to do that? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. There's one word that's wrong with it. Pride. That's what's wrong with it. When you can fall on your face before God and say, "God, I need your help. I don't have the strength. I don't have the smarts. I don't have anything. I need you, God." He's going to help you. That's when He's going to help you. Tonight, you need to leave your burden, your sorrow, your problem, your need. You need to say, "God, I need your help." That trial, that problem, that heartache, you need to decide to forget your story. I don't care what the track record is. I don't care what the history books say. I don't care how many wells you've dug and how many towers you built and all those things. It doesn't matter. You know, because if God did it. Forget all that stuff. And just remember the you that was on your face begging Him to save you. Amen. Because you couldn't save yourself. To help you to grow. To help you get rid of some sin. You've not arrived, folks. None of us have. Not one here. We all need His help. And you know what? We need His help. Marvelous, marvelous, marvelous help. I hope you're hungry for some marvelous help tonight. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. As long as he sought the Lord. 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 He had bus riders. As long as he sought the Lord. Little kids in Sunday school got their hearts right. As long as he sought the Lord, the bills were paid. As long as he sought the Lord, needs were met. As long as he sought the Lord. And then you fill in the blank. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many would say, "Preacher, God's spoken to my heart about something tonight. Pray for me." All over. Many hands already up. God bless you. Father, we so desperately need you. We need you individually. We need you in our families. We need you in our nursery, with our little children, with our junior age children, our teenagers. We adults need you. Married couples need you. God, the elderly here need you. Our senior citizens. The shepherds need you, God. Our church needs you. Our city, our county, our country. We need you, God. I pray that we would seek your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. 97 in your hymnals. "I need thee every hour." How true that is. God's speaking to your heart. Do not hesitate. If you need to come tonight, you come. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, the instruments continue to play. If you need to come, join these. Many have come. Something you would need to pray about tonight, you come. This morning I preach about trusting God. Tonight, needing God. Oh, you do need Him. Again, you can have a so-so kind of a Christian life, but I'm talking tonight about marvelous help, miraculous help. Remember those words, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. One more verse. If you need to come, come on this verse. Clark and Lois Bennett are headed to the mission field tomorrow, and they're going down to Florida to try to win all those heathen. So be sure and pray for them that they have a good trip and that all goes well for them there. Brother Clark, would you close in prayer for us, please? Amen.